Okay, this one's a little bit of a special interest of mine because I've been screaming from the rooftops for so many years that both sides wanted to shove the Roe v. Wade genie back into the bottle. And if we really examine how it was finally accomplished, you'll see that it was bipartisan. But meanwhile, the way that Roe v. Wade was presented as something that could eventually be reclaimed, because the government did not want to give us bodily autonomy. Okay, I consider this to be a fundamental human right, bodily autonomy. Government must stop here. Well, if government stops there, then debtor's prison, then all sorts of horrible borderline slavery shit. You know, the stuff that actually made America great. The stuff that actually fueled. Sorry, I'm tethered to this microphone and it is tangled. Fueled the growth of this country. Sugar, tobacco. Nobody wanted to be doing that. But, without taking away a person's rights to determine the use and even content of their own body. Such things weren't even being forced. People just thought that they were supposed to be made to do them. Okay, sorry. I have a sloppy desk. So, how do we do this? This is false framing or a framing trap. Present an issue with a narrowed frame that omits the true scope. This ensures that debate stays on exactly those terms. So, pro-life or pro-abortion. It created demons on both sides. Demons who were too fucking stupid to listen to me. When I told them that this was all about bodily autonomy, not about when life begins. Roe's central question was bodily autonomy, the state's power to regulate a person's control over their own body. Political actors, media, even advocates shifted the frame to abortion specifically. This reframing locked discourse into pregnancy-specific arguments, and this made the precedent easier to target and overturn without triggering wider outrage from other bodily autonomy constituencies, medical consent, end of life, blah, blah, blah. So, this is also false dichotomy, presenting only two sides when other positions exist. Or, as I say, the binary is false. I say that a lot. Public discourse was reduced to pro-life versus pro-choice, completely ignoring a vast middle ground of people who support bodily autonomy but might have nuanced views on specific medical procedures. This binary forced anyone wanting to defend bodily autonomy to defend abortion specifically. This also prolonged the war on drugs, by the way, not to like the benefit of the country. So, honestly, Roe, the politicization of Roe incorporated so many fallacies effectively. Slippery slope, obviously, which we've already gone over. But you can see now how you can use these fallacies to diagram arguments. So, arguing that one allowed action will inevitably lead to extreme consequences. Anti-choice rhetoric framed abortion rights as a slope towards moral collapse, state-sanctioned murder, even eugenics. Some pro-choice actors use slope arguments. If we give them restrictions here, they'll take more later, which cemented abortion as a uniquely exceptional case in law instead of connecting it to the universal principle of body sovereignty, which would have made real progress in distinguishing human rights from compromised classes or vulnerable classes. We can't have exceptions made. It can't just be, oh, well, this is a vulnerable class and we need to consider this right. Sure, but before we ever get to that, we need a body of universal rights that we identify regardless of they, them, or she, her. So, presenting a controversial position, but retreating to a more defensible one when challenged. This is gully and turret or something like that. So in Roe, anti-choice side publicly pushed life at conception. That would be the is that the turret or the gully? I think that's a gully. But in legal settings, retreated to states. No. The turret would be life begins at conception. But in legal settings, retreated to states' rights or late-term procedure regulation. That would be the gully or foxhole. The pro-choice side publicly declared abortion is health care. That's the turret. Fire, fire, fire. But retreated to within the first trimester or in cases of rape and incest. That, of course, is our foxhole. Now, this erodes the principle of bodily autonomy in all cases. And all it should be is a question of bodily autonomy. So, we definitely poisoned the well here, discredited an argument before it was made to avoid, to attach stigma to its advocates. Early media portrayals of pro-choice activists emphasized fringe or radical feminist imagery to make mainstream audiences dismiss the autonomy argument. The word abortion itself was linguistically loaded to carry negative connotations before any policy was ever discussed. Over 40 plus years, bipartisan framing and bipartisan silence on bodily autonomy turned Roe into a fragile abortion-specific precedent instead of a broad human rights precedent, and that narrowing made it legally and politically trivial to overturn. And what's worse is it infantilized women. So, let's move on.